This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
No spritzer. So it's our Friday show.
Yes, it is.
Apparently. Fine with that.
Yeah, me too. I got no issues with that.
I've been confused all week about what day it is.
Yeah, the hump day thing yesterday kind of threw us, or threw me. But yeah.
Everything. Like, I don't know. July 1st felt like the end of the week. That was Tuesday. So I was in trouble on Tuesday, thinking I was about to heading to the weekend.
Well, and you really blew it out on Tuesday, too. I mean, all that texting you did to arrange that incredible lineup of guests that we had.
That, too. That felt like a Friday occasion, you know,
yeah,
like sort
right.
of a...
Well, for me, the triggers of July 1st, because often, like, last few years I've missed that day. But for a very long time since we've been working together, that would be the last day for me before vacation. Like, it's my birthday, my family's already in Canada, but it's free agency day, so I'm going to work, and we're going to put our time in sitting here pouting because nothing is happening, but I'm here because, you know, whatever, responsibility. And so when my birthday comes, I have a very hard time thinking I'm not about to go on like a 10-day vacation at the beach. So having to get up yesterday and today and come here and do this is still, even though it's been 4 years since we've been, 5 years since we've been to the cottage, it's gone. It's even been torn down, sold and torn down. I still feel like on July 1st, I got to get over the Peace Bridge. It's time to go. If I got enough beer for the 4th of July party, like that's my headspace still on my birthday. So
there used to be a playground.
There used to be, yes.
Last night for me, I went to watch my son play indoor lacrosse in Thorold, St. Catharines. He plays for St. Catharines. And then got home not too late, like 9, and wanted the Blue Jays. I knew they were up 7-0 in the first inning, and then I knew it was 8-7, and wanted to, you know, catch the end of that game. Couldn't find it. Was it in a special place last night? I don't know. I couldn't find it.
I didn't spend any time with TV last night myself.
So I instead watched the second game of the 83 Sabres-Canadians series.
Sure. Well, that's a choice. Yep.
And I just loved it. You know who wins goes a long way toward choosing an old game to watch, however interesting it is. There are ones that I mean, random games in any sport that come up where I won't know who wins. And that's fun too. But the Sabres winning a playoff game in Montreal by shutout for the second night in a row, I wanted to see that. I found the first game randomly last week, watched that, and loved it. And so I didn't even look ahead to see if game two was on YouTube, but it was. And so I watched game two, the whole thing. Two hours, 40 minutes.
Commercials and all?
Some of the commercials were taken out. Intermissions were left in. Bobby Orr sitting down with Gordie Howe. I skipped through that. I didn't care about that. Didn't really care about. I like the updates. I like the highlights from the
other
games. Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. Here's what else is going on in the playoffs tonight. Yeah.
All eight series were playing at the same time.
Wow.
1983, first round. All eight series were playing on this same night. Game two, Sabres-Canadiens. It'd be tough trivia who scores the Sabres three goals in this game. But one of the I'm not going to make you try unless you want to. One of the three players' name came up on the show earlier this week. I thought it was a funny coincidence that this player scored in this game, given how his name came up earlier in the week.
I wish I could remember earlier in the week.
Mal Davis.
Mal Davis, okay, right.
So it's McCourt early from Perro. Perro makes a great pass. Just like behind the goal line, McCourt just buries it. Dale McCourt. Probably should do the first names now. It's been 42 years.
Yeah,
Dale McCourt.
That'd be a good idea.
Then
cool helmet guy, McCourt. Had a fat
helmet.
Rounder, like Northland helmet or something. I don't remember the name now for sure, but it was, yeah, like big round helmet.
Ceiling makes the play in the beginning. Rick Ceiling on the right wing boards. Robinson's, Montreal has lost game one at home. Robinson's coming for him, and he comes in high, and Ceiling sort of ducks it, and then it's Gilbert, and then it's McCourt, 1-0. Like, what a start. Second period, Gilles Hamel.
Okay.
On a slap shot, maybe on a power play, on a slap shot from the right top, of the zone on the right. 2-0. And then the third goal comes right after. You will not believe this goal. You might remember it. I mean, I didn't. It's a random playoff goal from more than 40 years ago, but it's insane. Mike Ramsey gets in.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Tony Ludeman having a breakaway in the Carolina series.
Right.
Ramsey dekes a Canadiens defenseman at the blue line to the outside and goes in from the left wing. Right in on it's Wamsley.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's Rick Wamsley, folks.
Rick Wamsley. Yes, I forgot my own rule already. And I don't know if he falls down or he's tripped or what happens, but Ramsey just like goes down right in front of the crease and just plows into Wamsley. And the puck sits there, and Mal Davis just taps it into the net. Goal counts.
Right.
Like, this never would have counted. Maybe this was the play that led to the rule change. I don't know.
There'd be goaltender interference reviews, and yeah, right.
I guess somebody must have tripped him because they let it.
Did he go in there on his own?
Yeah, having no replay is glorious. Everything's just going to stand. But he must get tripped, and he is down, and he is just like he's on a sled or something, right into the goal, right through the goalie. The net stays on because they had the poles.
Right. That's
safe. The moorings,
that's
right?
That's really safe, yeah.
They changed that to magnets, the Megs nets.
Right.
The Megs nets. But they still had the poles in 1983. So the goalie's blasted out of there. The net doesn't move. The puck doesn't move. And they're 3-0. Goal stands. And it's just the best. Like, the fans are just booing the Canadiens for the rest of the night because the Sabres they're not giving them anything.
Mm-hmm.
The first period, okay, so Montreal, it's a best of five. It's 1-0 Sabres. Mm-hmm. Montreal probably has to win. The teams were very close during the season.
Sure, these are road games. They're coming back to Buffalo for games 3 and 4.
Right. Yeah, right. So it's a huge game in a short series. Montreal's down 1-0 at home. And the game, the McCourt goal is in the second minute of the game, and the game is maybe like more than halfway through the first period. And Danny Galvin, Dick Irvin, Don Cherry, CBC, either Gallivan or Dick Ervin during a stoppage brings up, Montreal doesn't have a shot yet. And something about like the shots on goal clock, because they show the shots on goal clock and it's five visitor in French, visiteur, five, cinq, Canadian, it's just blank. It's not even a zero. It's just blank. It's just dark.
That is stark.
And they say to Cherry, they point out, so Don Cherry coached the Bruins for so many years. He's now in, he's broadcast. I don't know if he's still coaching too, but he's in the booth for this series.
Nobody's between the benches.
Nobody's between the benches, which frankly, I don't care about between the benches. Why do we need that?
How did we manage to watch hockey for all those years without someone between the benches telling us, there's a lot of chatter on the Edmonton bench.
Why do we need that? Does it add anything? So anyway, three guys, incredibly, none of them is between the benches, all talking. And I think Gallivan might say to Cherry, he might point out that there isn't a shots on goal clock in Boston Garden, and how he's annoyed by that. And Cherry tells him, I'll tell you why. I got it taken out of there. Because in this very situation, if the Bruins didn't have a shot into the first period, I know what would happen when they got there first. Because people would see that clock. Mm-hmm. And when they'd all be thinking about it. And when the first Bruins shot on goal happened, the fans would give you the Bronx cheer, and I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So the other announcers did not know this story. he had the shots on goal clock removed from the Boston Garden.
That's a move.
Like, I'm so happy I couldn't find the Blue Jays. I just love this, everything about it. Yep. The Sabres are kicking butt, and that's a great story that I was excited to share in here, because who's ever even conceived of that? But like, the coach gets the shots on goal clock removed from the arena, and Gallivan tweaks him too. He's like, you know, in so many words, it's your fault. Like, that we can't have nice things because,
right?
Like, he sort of says something like that.
You're worried about your fragile little team for some reason. It's the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, suck it up.
You're telling me Stan Jonathan's going to cry if they boo because they got a shot on goal? Like, what are you talking
about? Suck it up. So here are the Sabres. They win this game. They're up two games in the series, 1983. They do win the third game for the sweep. I can't find it. I was so excited this morning to look for it. Can't find it. Especially if I could have found CBC. I found the intros in the odd. The player
before the game, yeah.
Before the game. And I don't recognize the voice. I don't think it's Milt Ellis.
Wow.
I don't recognize the voice.
Huh.
He introduces the Canadian starters and the rest of the team, and it's all very normal, and the crowd's booing. And then the crowd the odd crowd stands up, everybody's screaming. And here are the Sabres starters, left wing, Gilbert Perreault. And Perreault comes on, and then you see whoever's next, maybe McCourt, comes on. And the announcer's like two guys behind. Like, then it's Seeling, and then it's Ramsey, and then it's Bill Height, maybe, and then it's Sauvé, and the place just explodes. Two road shutouts in the playoffs, and the announcer just gives up. And they go to Ted Darling, who's been waiting for as the play-by-play announcer for this game for the Sabres broadcast, of course. And although he was Hockey Night in Canada, maybe it's not, of course. But he points out the broadcasters point out, like, the announcer just decided not to bother.
He bailed out.
The crowd was so loud.
Couldn't be heard.
And then eventually he gets around to saying the other names. I wish I knew who it was. Maybe somebody knows who that would be.
Yeah, I never knew that there was anyone else who ever did that. I mean, you know, maybe an illness or something. I don't know. I just don't remember any other voice in that building besides Milt Ellis.
Yep. I'd love to find the game and listen for.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they had somebody just do that. Somebody else.
Oh, the introductions, and maybe he did the stuff during the game.
I've watched the 70s Soviet games back, and Milt is the voice of the introductions. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, thanks for indulging me on this. 1983, yikes. What happened to that team? Like, they win that series. They do not win another playoff series for literally 10 years.
Right.
And this team, the CBC guys are like, they are set. Phil Housley, as an 18-year-old, is, like, not dominant, but a prominent player on the team. Like, on the power play, there's Housley. You've got Andrechuk, who's a scratch, but still. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. They're both in the Hall of Fame, and they're on this Sabres team as teenagers.
Right.
Bourassa, maybe, too. Although he is not dressed. I don't know his status in 83.
Yeah, I don't either. I feel like he came right in when he... So is he already drafted by them by then?
Weren't they all three together, or were they two and one?
I don't know.
I don't think he's a part of this team.
I'd be surprised if he were, because I feel like when he got here, he went right in.
Phil Mir is the backup. Okay. Jasove, yeah. In 83. So you've got youth. Mike Ramsey is young, and we know he's going to have a fabulous career.
Right, he's only 3 years into his career.
Right. So you've got him. Sove, who is, you know, he wasn't the world's greatest, but he was good, had won a Vezina by this time. He had been traded to the Red Wings in the Gare trade, but come back.
Right.
So on this 82-83 team, he is back with the Sabres, and he's 27, I think they said, for this series. And you've got Foligno, who's young and good, and McCourt, and these other young guys. I mean, they are just absolutely all over the Canadiens in these games. It's so good. It's just not a Sabres team we know. We don't think of the Sabres being this way. But they were just like all over Montreal, checking, not giving up hardly any chances for most of these two games. And there are a lot of young players, Hamel, Sear. And you've got Gilbert. Gilbert only has like 3 years left. But he's still good. I mean, in this series, he stands out. He's the captain.
This is spring of 83.
Yes.
All right. Barrasso, 83-84 is his first season with the Sabres. I'm looking at his stats.
Okay, and he's right out of high school.
Right, right.
And so was Housley.
Yes.
Minnesota.
Right. So they're a year apart, I think, if Housley's the 83 draft, I think, or the 82 draft, excuse me.
I've got work to do because this is all just so interesting. And you've got Scotty Bowman, who is going to Montreal with his Sabres now and sweeping them. And, like, it's just to the moon, right? I mean, you've got the coach.
Right.
You've got the blend of young and old, and you've got a physical.
You're shutting down the Montreal Canadiens in the first two games in Montreal.
Not their best team. Like, this isn't.
Right.
We're post-dynasty by 3-4 years now. It's like they went out early in 81 and 82 also. But still. LaFleur, Schutt,
just big
Robinson.
Names. There's big familiar names there. Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, how did this get away from them in that they would not win another series for 10 years? With Bowman, with the youth, I mean, good to great players, vets, the style of play. I don't know. What's the answer? Van Boxmeer? What's the answer?
It's Pegula's fault.
Maybe. Yeah. That's obviously.
Hey-o.
We rehearsed this, and Bulldog told me that was going to be his line, and I still went for it.
Regrettable. On my part more than yours.
I just fell in love with this team. They're my new darlings, the 83 Sabres, even though I know this game that I can't find is like their last. It's almost like the 80s were not as bad as this, but were like this.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking here right now is – the frustration from 83 to 93 of not getting out of the first round felt, you know, like a death sentence. Like, what are we doing here? Like you're saying, there were good players here and a great, you know, legendary coach. It's the only place he didn't win in his NHL career, really. Even St. Louis, I mean, he didn't win a cup in St. Louis, but he got to the finals with St. Louis.
Maybe three times.
Yeah, right. Because just the way it worked with the new expansion, whatever. Anyway, I remember like in '93, like just how exhilarating it was. Oh, they beat the Bruins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Got out of the first round. This hasn't happened in 10 years. Wow. And now here we are. Now, like, presently, it's 14 years, and you can't even get, all we're asking for is just get in the first, be Montreal last year. Get in, be overmatched, go home. Thanks for coming. And we can't even get that. That can't even get in the air here.
But what happened to these guys? I mean, 84 and 85 are both Quebec losses. First round, Quebec. 84 was like a rout, a sweep, I think. And I went to one of those games and remember how angry the crowd was. It's so cruel, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, these are teams that might have had 90 to 100 points. And just like that Canadiens crowd in the game I watched, just like a game and a half into the playoffs and you just feel like this is over.
We don't have any time for you.
You're booing the whole time. Right. Like, just it's so sudden. Those games were back-to-back, too. Wednesday, Thursday, like they used to do. And it's just like, oh. And that, I think the Quebec game I went to might have been 6-2. And it was just like so unfun. Just everybody's so mad, and the Sabres are getting blown out. 85 is the Ashton goal. 85 is the 5-game series where they get down to in Quebec and then win two, but then go to Quebec game 5-3 lead and lose. And I think that's it. I think when that happens, Gilbert's on the team. Bowman, I think, is still coaching that team in 85. And it's going to be a lot of those guys, Housley and all of them. Not Barrasso's a net, but it's mostly like the whole team, the same team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they lose in the first round again, and then the next year they finish last. That's Turgeon.
Right.
So that, and Bowman's out, and all of it's, you know, not blown up. A lot of those guys stayed, you know, through the whole Foligno and Housley and Andrechuk were here for most of that 10 years. But still, I was really, really interested in it. Man, these guys are good. And they really are set up to win. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've got the coach. When do the Sabres ever have the coach?
Almost never
in
their history.
They got the best coach ever.
Right.
And they're winning, and it just died. The Brad Park.
Yeah.
Brad Park, Ashton.
Overtime game 7, right?
Overtime game 7. Ashton is late game 5 in a best of 5. And then it's like the dead zone. And a long time before it's Hasek when they get back up. I mean, Hasek's in net for Mayday.
Right.
It's not until him. And it's coaches way past Bowman. Who is that coach? Muckler? Who's the 93 coach?
Yeah, Muckler, I think, is there by then. Or Dudley. I don't know. Like
Dudley?
I feel like that went back and forth a few times. I have to look at the Wikipedia page of the history and lineage of the coaches and GMs. But Muckler, I think, took over behind the bench more than one time during. And Scotty did that too, I think. Didn't he? There was like Ramsey, a coach for a little bit, and maybe even Schoenfeld.
Yeah. For a few games.
Right. Never Ramsey. Like a permanent thing. Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
But I feel like I remember. I know Dudley is in there somewhere with a young Rob Ray and all that. But I don't know, you know, which years are which exactly.
I just wonder, like, I was 11 years old for that Montreal series, and I don't have any recollection of this. And how much media was there to consume anyway? You know, there was the paper. But what was the feeling about where they were on the growth chart? Like, it probably seemed close to miraculous how they went from the French Connection years. By 80, Robert is gone. Martin is gone or almost gone.
Yeah.
They make the Gare trade a year or two after that. So there's all this movement, but there they are in 83, and they look like they're kind of perfect. Maybe there's not like a alpha superstar on that team. That,
right.
They didn't have that. But it must have felt like so good how they had built that. And you know, you're used to success, too, with the Sabres by then. Like, their entire history, most of it is playoffs and playoff runs and success. It's a long time ago. I just wonder if it felt like an ending or if it was more like, no, we're going to be good for a long time because look at the young players we have and they're promising.
I don't really remember. I just wasn't following it as closely as I did even, I don't know if I want to say prior, but certainly later on. It was way more in tune, but yeah, like I doubt that we saw or thought, oh, this team is going to miss the playoffs for a few years in a row and get the number one overall pick. Just, you know, beating Montreal like that in a first round series, even though you lost, you know, it's overtime game seven in the second round. Yeah, bring it all back. Let's go. What's happening next year, right? And just, you know, it didn't work for a couple of years there.
Not everybody is into the old games, but I'm excited to talk to Joe about this one because that there are some 83, it's a little bit of a transition moment in hockey history with you're going from the bullies and brawls into the Oilers, through the Islanders into the Oilers,
yep.
And it's like 14-4 games, you know, crazy. Then goaltending gets better. It's a really interesting moment for the Sabres and for the league, for the Canadians, kind of the end of their thing. Finally is right around there too. Bob Barry is their coach for this series.
We'd have been here a while trying to get me to guess who the Montreal coach was, if that's Bob Barry.
No. What a move by Minnesota's Lou Nanny. He was the GM, was involved in USA Hockey, was the GM of the North Stars.
Another big helmet guy.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't know him as a player.
I think he had the same helmet as McCourt.
Lou Nanny apparently goes behind the bench for the playoffs. He like fires the coach for the playoffs. Not a month before.
Right. Like
his first game behind the bench is game one against the Leafs.
Right.
That's a move. All right. Thanks for being with us today. Next, Sam Paniatovich wants to talk about the hot dog eating contest. We'll let him. He wrote about it. We'll let him. It was part of the deal to have him come on during a vacation on a Thursday.
Out of some sense of obligation, I read every word that he wrote about the hot dog eating contest, and I have never been more informed about it and upset.
On that note, Armando Salguero as well. We'll talk about what Miami's up to with the trade with the Steelers and more. Always a good conversation with him. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
Yeah, the last record, 76 in 10 minutes, is a tough record to beat. It's going to be a hard one. It'll totally take perfect conditions, like not too hot. If it's windy, the hot dogs get cold. But if we have enough warmth, like 78 degrees, 75, if it's kind of dry outside, the buns get stale. So you need to have like fast buns, warm dogs, not too hot.
Fast buns, warm dogs.
This is a new one for me. I know of the hot dog eating contest. I don't really know the rules too well. And I never even thought for a second about weather mattering.
Well, because I read what Sam sent to me, and I think to you, I read that quote earlier today. Again, out of a sense of duty, wanted to be ready for Sam. So I knew that conditions can impact the hot dog eating contest. Prior to 2 hours ago when I read this, I would have never thought such a thing.
It wasn't a Chestnut quote. It was, well, he did use a Chestnut quote in the article, but what I read was a different quote about if it's too hot, the pace slows down. If it's on the cooler side, the food gets cold. Is one better than the other? I'm kind of baffled. but I like it that way. Joining us to talk about this and more, Sam Paniatovic, the host of Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, willing on his vacation to find time for us on this July 3rd, Thursday. Be sure to catch Sam's show with Joe Ostrowski, 9 to noon weekdays on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app.
Sam, this will not go... I don't know that I'll ever do anything to recognize it, but I just want to be heard saying to you on our show that the combination of those factors, the 3rd of July, and you're on vacation, and you're here, I don't think I'll ever forget this moment.
Wow.
Vacation's a myth, guys. You know that.
Yeah, you're like, I just wrote 600 words on a hot dog eating event. I can find time for this. What is this event for you? Is this something you feel like you have to care about professionally? Or I mean, I don't care about it, but I love that you can bet it. It's one of those for me.
I bet the hot dog contest for the first time in 2015. So it's something I'm more willing to discuss and more knowledgeable than I'd maybe care to admit, but it's something that we've been able to do for some time. Now, you can't bet it in every state, and I'm not sure about the rules in New York, but for example, some states you can't bet it. Like, I can't bet this in Nevada. Some books in Illinois don't even take it, but I do remember betting on Matt Stoney. This was one of those weird years where Joey Chestnut didn't win, and Chestnut's won it 16 times now. The Nathan's contest. So he has 16 mustard belt championships.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid, Matt Stoney, comes out of nowhere. And as funny as it is to admit, I have a buddy who I consider a hot dog sharp. I know you guys are going to laugh, but he studies this stuff. He studies what they eat in other fields and other competitions. And he said, Sam, bet this Matt Stoney over 40 and a half. I know nothing about Matt Stoney. He eats 62 and wins the contest. And from that point, I'm hooked.
Is there a DK Buns or DK Dogs or anything like that, like DK Horse? You got a horse guy, you got a hot dog guy.
DraftKings actually has the biggest menu in the contest. A lot of the books don't have stuff. I didn't see anything at BetMGM this morning. I don't know if FanDuel has anything. It's not, you know, a market that's up everywhere. But if you go to DraftKings right now, you can look at the individual totals on a lot of the eaters. And my favorite is you can do the matchups. You can take Joey Chestnut against Bertoletti, and they put a spread on it. This sounds so degenerate as I say it out loud, but
yes.
I mean, this is going to write more action than a Sunday night baseball game. Like, in terms of context, how many people actually bet this across the country? There's a huge appetite, no pun intended,
no.
to bet this. And guess what? It's a 10-minute event, so you don't have to wait 2-3 hours to know your result. You're going to know right away. And then move on with your life.
Things I see at the top of my FanDuel page. Aussie rules football, darts, cricket, MMA, and then the rest of the usual suspects here, and nothing on the hot dog eating.
They put those things above, like, baseball and...
No, those things were at the tail end. I was,
okay.
You know, no, baseball, but there is Japanese baseball listed here, but no, nothing on the hot dogs.
Is any particular sport... Like, is it relative popularity means softer lines, less interest? I mean, that seems to make sense that, say, the NFL might be the hardest to win at by that logic.
So it's a fair question. I think the initial numbers that go up are off. And I'll give you a perfect example. Like, the first number I saw on over-under dogs and buns for Bertoletti, who won last year, was 49.5. And I saw that number, and Joe and I talked about it on the show last week. This is last Wednesday or Thursday, 49.5. And I said, that's too low. By the time you get to the event tomorrow, which is scheduled for noon Eastern, you're going to have the tightest hot dog lines in the world. I'm literally saying this all tongue-in-cheek. Like, I'm trying to take this seriously because it is a serious thing. But, like, his number right now is 53.5, 54.5. So it's already moved 5 dogs in 7 or 8 days. And by the time you get to the day of an event, whether it be Sunday NFL, Saturday college football, these lines have all been sort of beaten into shape. And you're going to see over money, and then eventually the number gets too high and you're going to get under money. But it's not unlike your traditional market that's up 6, 7, 8 days, where maybe the numbers are bad early, but by the time you get to the event, they're about as good as they can be.
And the clip that we came in with here of Joey Chestnut talking about the weather being a factor, is that, I mean, obviously we can have a weather forecast, but still the day of, you just never know. Like, will that affect these lines tomorrow? Like, if it's hotter than we thought it was going to be, or it's cooler or breezier than we thought it was going to be?
Chestnut's probably one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of the hardest guys to pin down in terms of a number. You know, we did see him eat 76 back in 2021, but guys, that's 4 years ago. And I mean, as somebody who's, you know, crossed through age 35 recently, like, I can't eat the way I used to. So, you know, Joey Chestnut's 4 or 5 years older. It's going to be more difficult. So we didn't see him last year because he was banned.
Right.
He signed some sponsorship with Impossible Foods, and Major League Eating said, yeah, you're not going to eat this year, so he didn't. But his last three competitions, he went 76, 63, 62. So when you look at that over-under this year, Bulldog, it's 71.5. It's just basically right in the middle.
Yeah.
And they're guessing. The bettors are guessing. I don't necessarily want to bet against the guy, but I looked at the high for tomorrow, and it's like 71 degrees at Coney Island. And he was on a podcast last week on Barstool, where he was basically saying, like, if it's too hot, I sweat and I run out of gas. If it's too cold, though, the wind comes in and cools down those dogs. So, I mean, again, I'm trying to take this seriously. I don't know that there's an edge over or under on Chestnut. I mean, on the surface, it feels a little bit high, considering his age and considering what he's done the last couple of years. But I think the best bet that you can make right now, you can take Bertoletti plus 17.5 dogs.
Oh my God.
Against Chestnut. I think Joey's going to eat about 67. So then I would need Bertoletti to eat at least 50, because I'm adding 17.5 mm-hmm. to his total. So if it goes, you know, 63-54, yeah, Chestnut's going to win, but only by 9. So I'm going to cover the 17.5.
I love that there's a spread there. That is just the best.
This is really fun. I'm closer than I've ever been to watching it. from this conversation. So indirectly, you're kind of selling the event. Sam Paniatovic, the hot dog eating contest is tomorrow, 4th of July tradition. This is the first time, I'm sure, that we've talked to you while watching the Rockies. The Rockies-Astros game is on MLB Network right now. Fittingly, Houston scores as you're talking to go ahead in this game, but it's still early. I'm interested in your take on the Blue Jays, Sam. So they have caught the Yankees. They've won the first three games of their series. Game four is tonight. Are they legit? Did you see this coming?
No, not from Toronto. I thought if any team was going to do it, it'd be Tampa, to be honest with you, in that division. But look, I never thought the Yankees were this rock solid, clear cut favorite, you know, because think about all the injuries they've had to deal with. You know, you come into the season without Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil. Soto's playing for a different team now. And Stanton was hurt and a couple other injuries. So I remember that win total before the season. It opened 93.5 on the Yanks. And I think it closed about 86.5, 87.5. So there was some serious support anti-Yankees. That said, I mean, they still have the most talented roster in the division. But it's funny how that works. If you were to ask me right now, like, who would I bet to win the East, it's probably the Yankees at minus 170, considering they were minus 300 coming into spring training. You know, they're relatively cheap. But if you were going to ask me right now, if I, like, say, all right, here, take $100, would I bet Toronto or Tampa to win the East? I'd probably go Tampa before Toronto.
How come?
I think their pitching is more elite on top. Their defense is very, very good and really has been for a long time. I mean, that's Tampa Bay Rays baseball. They pitch and catch the ball extremely well. Don't necessarily beat themselves in the field. They've got good leather. And I had a scout a long time ago when I was first coming up in Chicago. He told me, look, when the Rays call you with a guy, hang up.
Yeah.
Because the Rays have gotten the most out of that bottle, right? The juice is already all out because they maximize maybe not the talent, but they find the potential in a lot of players at a lot of positions. So I just think organizationally, things are more sustainable in Tampa. I could be completely wrong about that this year, but more years than not, I'd much stock than Toronto stock.
It's really nice how the Red Sox don't even get to enter this conversation, Sam. Like, what has happened to that franchise?
I worked at Nesson, so I know a little bit more than the average bear, and my theory has always been that it's just a part of the portfolio there for John Henry. When they came in, you know, early 2000s, that was their only baby, right? It was their baby boy, and they put a lot of money into it and paid guys like Manny Ramirez and traded for Curt Schilling and did a lot of this stuff. Well, then they win four World Series and decide, well, let's do other stuff. Let's buy Liverpool and let's buy the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I always thought, because LeBron's an investor in Fenway Sports Group. When LeBron retires, who better than LeBron and John Henry to move the NBA to Vegas? It makes total sense. So I just don't think they treat that team like it's a big market team anymore. And I saw a picture when they traded Devers, what would that have been, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's a picture in the dugout of Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, and Rafi Devers. And they didn't keep any of them long term. The fans are irate, but people still go. They still sell out. They still make money. They just got valued at $5 billion. So why would they put the money into the product when the people are going anyways and they're going to fill Fenway Park? And that's what it is. They're treated like a small market team in one of the most major markets in sports, and they get away with it. That's what's happening in Boston.
It's so gross.
This is how we used to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but not anymore. I mean, now they're just a juggernaut. So those days are over, I'm sure.
Right.
There'll be buyers in the next month.
I'm getting back up there, Sam, finally. It's been since before I was married, since I have been to Fenway Park, but my oldest son and I are coming up mid-August for a Saturday afternoon game. So
please tell me I'm going to be there, because I'm going to be in Vegas August 16th. If that's the
That's the game. Yeah, the Marlins, August 16th. Saturday, August 16th. We're driving in, driving out. Like Saturday, overnight, back Sunday.
Should have checked
just the
first.
Two of us. But that was the only game we could fit into our schedules, the two of us. More me than him. But anyway, so we'll miss you. That is disappointing.
Sam. So I've missed you. I've missed you in Buffalo. I'm going to miss you in Boston. That means I need to see you in like Punta Cana or something like that.
Right. We'll get to work on that.
I guess this means he's not going to Vegas either. How about the Miami-Pittsburgh NFL trade, Sam? Did it mean anything to bettors?
Not to the bettors. The total didn't change on either side. You know, the Pittsburgh number really started to shift a little bit when Aaron Rodgers made it official that he was going there. Look, a quarterback is going to move a win total, move a future market, not a guy in the secondary. And, you know, I looked at the win totals on both teams before the move and then after the move, and nothing has changed. Steelers' win total did hike up a bit, though, when they got Rodgers. So that number was like 8.5, and now it's like 8.5 juiced over. So it's not like even Aaron Rodgers, with everything he's done in his career, moves the win total like a half a win, kind of. But not really much of a change. I'm looking at most books right now. Pittsburgh, 8.5 on the win total. So it was 8 before Rodgers. Now it's a lot more 8.5. But no, when you flip guys in the secondary, as great as both of those guys are, they're not worth much. I mean, a defensive back, an elite defensive back right now in the NFL is worth like a point. So if one of these guys isn't going to play and the point spread is 5, the line goes to 4. Like that, it sounds minimal that a guy like that on both ends is only worth a point, but you know, the greatest defensive player of all time, I was told, was Lawrence Taylor, and that guy's worth 3.5 points. So that is a lot. 1 point, relatively speaking, is a lot, considering that Lawrence Taylor was worth 3.5.
I was told means no recollection of watching him, too young.
I was born in 89. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, that's got my answer. Does an alternate line on either the Dolphins or the Steelers to be terrible interest you? Because these are both teams where people talk like they should be terrible. I mean, the Steelers never are, but Miami, you wonder which direction they're going. Can you get like an under 5.5 wins for these teams? I'm sure you could probably get anything. I wonder if you'd be interested in betting like a hard against either one.
I really think that that's a good bet under right now. I mean, I can go under 6.5 at BetMGM at plus 155. If you want to go under 5.5, 4.5, by all means, go for it. I did have to laugh. I saw what Raheem Mostert tweeted the other day. Like, oh, wow, like that's what happens when you're good in Miami. They just get rid of you. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, that's interesting. But also, I'm not sure that this McDaniel experiment is going to last much longer. I think he came in hot. They had some success early. But I get a lot of Joe Madden vibes from him, where he's the smartest guy in the room. Everybody knows it. And I'm not trying to compare them like, you know, accolades and achievements wise, but Madden at the end in Chicago was not well liked because he knew everything. And the worst part for Madden was that he won the World Series in Chicago. So he could do no wrong until he did wrong and then they got rid of him. But McDaniel just has that vibe where he knows better than everybody and his finesse is better than your strength. And they couldn't run the ball a lot of times last year. And I just think a lot of players there have a lot of combustibility. So, yeah, under 5.5, under 4.5, you're going to get nice payouts. But I don't think that's a good football team this year. I'd be willing to sell stock on the Dolphins.
It feels like a lot of what they've done has been from a culture standpoint, right? Like get try to clean house, get bad attitudes out of here. But at what cost, right? I mean, talent void could – you know, it's fine to have everybody getting along better and maybe listening to the coach and showing up for meetings on time and all the other things that go along with that. But, you know, where are the good players?
I also think this is a very pivotal year for McDaniel.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean, this
yes.
is the fourth year. This is year four. If they make the playoffs this year, it saves his job. If it goes the other way and this falls apart and the team blows up from the inside, you're looking at 4-13 and he's fired. I think there's a huge range there, and you're going to see some of these books put up markets on first coach fired. I think he should be one of the first guys on that list because this is a make or break it for him.
I 100% agree.
They do have – the AFC schedules this year are not tough, so you'd need New England to be good. You'd need – a couple other surprises, I think, or the Dolphins just be like horrendous. One more. You brought this team up in a recent conversation of ours, and I wanted to tell you, I have really talked myself into them in the other direction, and that's Dallas. I can see that offense being incredible, and most of it will be passing. Like Prescott back, Pickens added to Lamb. I'm giving Pickens some benefit of the doubt here, some leeway. But Ferguson's good. They don't have a good running back, but I don't know that I even care. And they always have a good line. It's a first round picks up and down the line. So impact players on defense. I could see Dallas having a year.
You do not need a good running back. A line is much more important than a running back, unless you have Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey or Ashton Jeanty or something like that. But most lines make the running backs. I just wanted to actually point out, too, I was looking at the Patriots, and you were talking about that. So the Dolphins' win total is like 6.5, 7.5. The Patriots up to 8.5. So the books are already saying, like, not New England's already better than Miami for the record. But, yeah, man, look, if Dak – and most importantly, Micah Parsons stay on the field, they're a playoff team. They're a double-digit win team in the regular season. Now, that's a much different conversation if we start talking about can they win the division, can they win the NFC, can they win the Super Bowl. I'm very pumped the brakes on that, but why can't they go over a very low win total in a division that hasn't had a repeat champion since 04? It's one of those weird things where you have to expect the unexpected. And, again, if Dak and Parsons are on the field, they're good enough to win 10, 11, 12 games. There's no reason they can't.
For all their wealth, no NFC championship appearances since 95 when they won Super Bowl 30, and we will not ask Sam to tell us where he was for that one.
Good call.
No reason
to ask
that.
I was watching Michael Jordan wear number 45 for the Bulls at that time.
Maybe. What's the first Super Bowl you remember? Maybe Denver?
Packers, Patriots, Desmond Howard.
Okay.
Right?
Right before Denver. Yep. The year after this game. Yeah. The year after this Dallas game, I think. 31. All right, Sam. Well, enjoy the quote vacation, what you have left of it anyway. And good luck tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Bertoletti, plus 17.5. That's the move against Chestnut.
There it is. Read about it at Fox Sports from Sam Paniadovich. And you can watch the event tomorrow afternoon. That's last year's winner he's talking about. Bertoletti.
But no Chestnut last year.
Did not compete. Right. Okay, Sam's show with Joe Ostrowski, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings 9 to noon on the Bet MGM network and on our, the Bet 1520. Armando Salguero coming up. Speaking of the Dolphins, we haven't talked to Armando in a while, and he covers the whole league, but whenever there's a Dolphins thing, we reach out to him, and he's always very accommodating. Hopefully he doesn't stiff us now because I said that,
right.
Ending a long streak of wonderful appearances.
Either stiff us or honor the commitment, but start yelling at us for always calling about the Dolphins.
Yeah, let's ask him about that.
There's all these other teams, guys.
Do you guys even know that I'm not just a local reporter anymore? Well, make sure he does know that we know that when we come back. Thanks for listening to us. July 3rd, we will not be here tomorrow. Armando Salguero, hopefully, will be with us here next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.